the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have no guests today. I was supposed to have a gubernatorial candidate, but at 9:30, I found out that they couldn't make it. They were going up the Hall Road now. So, oh well, those things happen. So, did you have a good weekend? We have basically an open line Monday. A few things I want to talk about. It's getting interesting down in Juneau. You have government trying to get involved in economics. And when that happens, you just wish for an outcome that is based upon education and what's best. And right now we have a situation going on with the Alaska Liquid Natural Gas Project. And you have Senator Kathy Geisel. Last week she brought out her substitute for Senate Bill 280, which was the governor's. And you have to remember, this is only for in-state use. This bill is only for in-state use. So anything that the government puts on this in taxes, fees, tariffs, tax assessments, that is paid wholly by us, the in-state Alaskan consumer. It has nothing to do with sending it overseas, export. Right now, phase one is bringing this without Fairbanks involved. Phase one is from bringing it to Prudhoe Bay to Anchorage, where NSTAR is. And so any taxes, such as the real estate tax, will be paid by the ratepayers. Now, we're all screaming about the cost of living in Alaska. And boy, are utilities one of them? We've all been waiting for a gas line. Now, the present tax on a pipeline is 20 mils. And now who gets those 20 mils? You know, state of Alaska. The way this gas line would go, the North Slope borough would get, out of all the boroughs, municipalities, they'd get the majority of the taxation revenue. But the ratepayers would still be doing it. If Fairbanks ever got a gas line spur here, or they figured out a trucking aspect from Nenada to here, we would be paying those taxes, those in-state taxes rates. Now, what I did my last few months as mayor, I put together a resolution, and everyone liked it. It was passed 6-0 by the city council, that to keep the cost of natural gas down as far as we can, in-state ratepayers would not pay for the gas. It'd be free because it's such a small component of the export side, a very small component. There would also be no real estate taxes on it and no tariffs. Those were the three things: would be free, no taxes, no tariffs. And also the fourth one was they would blend in the cost of the spur line into the overall line. You will start looking at export when they bring it from NSTAR in Anchorage down to Nikiski, where they have the LNG plant to put it into containerization. So anything that they're doing right now down in Juneau that puts taxes, fees, or tariffs on this will be paid directly by Alaskans. Simple as that. And so you have Kathy Geisel down there, who did a big change from what the governor did, and she brought the mill rate back up to 20%, or 20 mills rather, 2% every year. You know, $1 million a mile for construction cost, taxes that goes to the state, things like that. You know, and it expands the role of the authority of the Alaska Development Corporation. Lawmakers will be given authority to approve major deals, including partnerships with foreign entities. This will give control over the gas line to one of the most unstable entities in Alaska, which I believe right now is the Alaska legislature. You don't want that. My personal belief is you don't want that. You had the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation put this together. They kept the 25% ownership equity in this, which is great. And here you have a specific senator who is, I always question her presence of mind when it comes to economics, because I don't believe it's there, who's the chair of the Senate Natural Resources, and she's taking this and she's making it so this would be unaffordable to do. I'm going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Mel.
Hello, Mel.
No, actually, I've been listening, and not why I called, but I'll say why I called is actually I take the opportunity to give a hats off to GBEA after this last winter. I got to say, I live out Murphy Dome Road, and our area is probably the most prone to power outages, and we didn't have with all the snow and cold, we did not have a single power outage all winter long. And that, to me, is amazing, and I thank GBEA for clearing the trees the last couple of years and making that possible. So.
Yeah, they've got a really good set of crew that goes out there. First of all, when the power is out, they go out and clear it out and get it set back up. But in the summer, they look at their critical areas, and they do the clearing. They really do. They came into my subdivision, and this guy had these huge, huge spruce trees going up into the lines, and they removed them perfectly. So, well, okay. Anything else you want to say about the?
Yeah, well, I just think everything you just said about the gas line is absolutely wrong and nuts. And
Why is that? What did I say that was wrong?
You know, like we're going to get free gas, right?
No, that was my resolution. I didn't say we're going to get that.
Well, but you're not mayor anymore. I mean,
no, it was just a resolution. That's all it was.
I know, but you're reliving.
And do you believe that more taxes placed on this will be good for the rate payers in the state of Alaska?
I think it will be good for everybody.
I don't. That's where I disagree.
You know, listen to, I don't know. Do you know who Andrew Halkrill is?
Yeah.
He has a series of podcasts, and his last two are all about the gas line, including an interview with Kathy Geisel. And I would urge you to listen to the last two podcasts that he has on his website. Unfortunately, there's no way to comment about them, but anyway, I think you might find it a different perspective. But the taxes, you know, property taxes are just a minor thing. I mean, that we're so much putting.
Well, there's $1 million per mile fee. All these things will be placed.
For the person,
Mel, all these fees, all these items are placed on the ratepayer, no matter what.
No, and they're not going to cancel the producers aren't going to cancel the pipeline because of property taxes. It's not.
Well, they also, this is another thing I didn't bring up yet. They also want to know what their costs, what they believe the production cost is. This is what Senate Bill 280 does. What it does is it goes into the books before it even starts of Glen Farm. And so the legislature can determine what their rate of return will be. That's what this does.
You know, Glen Farm and all this preliminary talk is so much putting the cart in front of the horse.
Well, you have to have this in before they go. They can't do this without something from the legislature.
At all. Listen to Hal Crow and he explains.
Okay, I will. You know, yeah. Anyway, you have a good afternoon. I'll talk to you later.
You
thank you for the phone call. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
It's tea season, and it's time for you to embrace spring with Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you are still digging out of the snow, or you crave the warmth and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're a true tea connoisseur, Sipping Streams Tea Company is perfect for you. For this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Sipping Streams Tea Company.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
Did your vehicle survive 145 days of sub-zero temperatures this winter? If so, it deserves a participation trophy. Months of torture on your vehicle's systems like suspension, brakes, and fluids really takes a toll. Spring into action with Glacier Garage and bring your rig in for the maintenance it deserves. At Glacier Garage, our technicians will inspect the key systems winter loves to punish and make sure your car is ready for the roads ahead. Don't wait for a small issue to become a costly repair. Call Glacier Garage or find us online at glaciergarage.com. And after this winter, we all deserve a participation trophy.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 58, east winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 35. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 53, mainly cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. If you got a thought, give us a call, 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, there's another thing about SB 280 that has not been addressed in the rework from Senator Geisel, and one of the most significant additions is a new state income tax. That's right. Pass-through oil and gas entities, partnerships, LLCs, with a similar business structure that previously were exempt from Alaska corporate income tax. So anyway, and it reaches up to about 9.5%. So, oh boy, you know, it's just basically SB 280, I believe, in my thoughts, Kathy Geisel just cannot stand this governor. And that's sad. That's just sad. And Kathy Geisel, again, does not have the presence of mind to be doing things like this economically for the state of Alaska. Because this will postpone, if not stall. And they're not going to, once they start ordering the pipe, that's when you know this is a go. They haven't started ordering the pipe. They're not going to start ordering the pipe until their tax basis, what they're paying, and it makes economic sense, is assured. So it ain't happening this year unless the governor calls a special session. If this comes out the way this is written, this is getting vetoed. They have, about 30 days left to get this worked out. Does Kathy Geisel have so much animosity where this cannot get worked out? That's the question. And so, you know, it's, but here's another thing for you. And I would advise you to listen carefully, because next week, on Glen Farm, this is going to be here on Wednesday. I'm gone Wednesday and Friday, the next Monday and Tuesday. So I have Jen Uhas. She's going to be handling, she being the guest host. And she's got Glen Farm coming in on Wednesday. And it should be interesting to see what they say. Are they going to go? Are they going to make the commitment without a tax basis in place? Are they going to make a commitment to show Kathy Geisel their internal workings on this? No, they're not. So, you know, this screams to me of socialism. When you're looking at saying, okay, we want you to make a $45 billion investment, but we also want to know what your rates, your margins, and everything are before we do anything. And we also have to approve any major contracts, entities, construction projects from the legislature. Now, once you put that into the legislature's hands, it does not get done. It does not get done. So anyway, ponder that. Ponder that. And again, we're all screaming about high utilities. We are. My goodness. You know, take a look at your, you know, our caller called up about the GVA.
9.9 channel on TV there some time ago. And I heard it said that, I think this came down from the governor's office, that the price per MCF would be $12 per 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas, but that after export starts, which would make the whole thing more efficient, then the price would drop down to 5 MCF. Anyway, that's what I priced. I don't want to be a burden upon the whole project by getting free gas. I mean, it's always great to get stuff free, admit, but I'm certainly willing to pay the $12 per MCF or later on the $5 per MCF. And also, another thing in Kathy Geisel's bill that she talks about is wanting an impact tax for every mile, $1 million for every mile of the pipeline, which, considering the entire length, would be about $800 and something million, almost $1 billion up front, kind of like. And I'm against that. I mean, when she talks impact, as if that's going to cause, you know, a hardship as they're building this with all the workers and people coming in and everything. And, yeah, there's a little bit of negative impact, but I would say that the true impact is mostly positive. You know, you have all these jobs, and then, of course, the final product, the gas line at the end, is an enormously positive, beneficial impact. So I say get rid of the $800 million impact.
You know, even if the state of Alaska gave to the distributors the gas for free, would still have a cost, because NSTAR, IGU, they have infrastructure here that they're paying, that they've invested in. So now I always remember from the late 70s, I remember looking at this cost analysis. Remember Schlitz beer?
Schlitz beer, yeah.
Okay. They did a cost analysis of the four most costly items to do that went into a bottle of Schlitz beer. Maybe four or five.
The phone was cost money.
Yeah. What was the most costly?
Advertising.
No, this to make the beer before you went into advertising. That bottle of beer sitting there. What was the most expensive thing in or about that bottle of beer?
The time to let it ferment? Or?
No. The most expensive thing was the cost of the bottle.
Oh.
What was the second most expensive thing?
Cap?
Yes, the cap. Oh. Yes, the cap. Oh. What was the third most expensive thing?
The hop.
No. The label.
Uh-huh.
What was the fourth most expensive thing?
The deposit they gave for the
No. It's about the bottle of beer. The fourth most expensive thing was the glue that held the label onto the bottle. The last most expensive thing was the beer itself.
Darn.
So I've always remembered that. You know, look at your product and what do the product costs. And the cheapest part of our product is going to be the gas, if it's in-state use. I mean, it'll be the gas.
Uh-huh.
Not the cost of transportation, but the gas itself. Not the cost of distribution, the gas itself. Anyway, that's my thought. Randy, I'm going to take another phone call, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Yep. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel again.
Hello, Mel again.
On the beer, what was the first thing, the first most expensive?
The bottle.
No, you got that wrong.
Oh, well, this is the 70s, so, you know, what the heck.
No.
What is the most expensive thing of the bottle? I mean, in the bottle.
Advertising.
No, we took that away. There's just the bottle sitting there.
A couple words.
Yeah, the first thing was the bottle. Second thing was the cap. Third thing was the label. The fourth thing, which was surprising to me, was the glue. And the fifth thing was finally the beer. So, but advertising, marketing, you know, salaries, all that fun stuff. So anyway, so I've always remembered that. And I sort of, you know, it's sort of weird to equate it, you know, to the gas line. But the gas that you pay for will probably be inconsequential to the state of Alaska in regards to what they receive. So make in-state gas free. Everyone says, you know, it's our economics, it's our oil, it's our gas, it's our dividend. Have no cost to the user for the natural gas. That's just my thought. Anyway, but that's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Senate Bill 280 and how it comes out of the Senate and goes back to the House, if it does go back to the House. And will there be enough time for them to get something done? Will the egos of the Senate, the governor's office, the House, all get in the way? Because what I'm looking at right now is, if this doesn't get done, you know, oh boy. So they decided that they were going to build the oil pipeline in 1969, and they ordered the pipe, and all of a sudden the lawsuits hit, and it wasn't until, you know, we got through the lawsuits and our Congress approved it in the Senate with the vice president casting the deciding vote. Spiro T. Agnew is a 50-50, and Spiro Agnew cast the deciding vote. So we got the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. So they're not going to be ordering this pipe until there's a deal on the taxes. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to have some bumper music, The Faces. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The man accused of opening fire during the White House Correspondents' Dinner over this weekend, scheduled to appear in court today, has now made that appearance. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt blames rhetoric for this attack.
The deranged lies and smears against the president, his family, his supporters have led crazy people to believe crazy things, and they are inspired to commit violence because of those words. It has to stop.
This 31-year-old male shooter had been staying in the same hotel the dinner's being hosted at. He's made his initial court appearance facing three counts. Count one, the most serious, attempting to assassinate the president of the United States. Up to life in prison on that one. Count two, transporting firearms across state lines. Count three, discharge of a firearm during a crime of violence. The judge has ordered this suspect held without bond. Next court appearance coming up April 30th. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Your Alaska Link reports the Meals to You program delivers free weekly meal boxes to eligible students during the summer months, helping bridge the gap when school cafeterias are closed. Each box contains five breakfasts and lunches, including shelf-stable items such as cereal and milk. Food Bank of Alaska officials say the program serves children in rural communities who qualify for free or reduced-price school meals. Participation is based on school enrollment, income eligibility, and residency in USDA-designated rural areas. Jillian McPherson with the Food Bank of Alaska said the program has played a critical role in addressing food insecurity in the state, noting that roughly one in five children in Alaska experience food insecurity. She also said rising food and living costs in rural areas make the program especially important, estimating savings of about $400 per week for a family of four. Food Bank officials say participating school districts span much of rural Alaska and the interior, southwest, northwest, and southeast regions.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska, bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. She told her son, "You are so handsome." And then Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
Across Alaska's rivers, runways, trap lines, and trails, there are stories that deserve to be heard. Those stories live on Alaska Tracks. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarnke, Alaska Tracks takes you inside the lives of the people who know this land best. Elders, hunters, bush pilots, and trappers who carry Alaska's traditions forward. Built on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode blends conversation, storytelling, and first-hand experience, connecting generations, bush and city, past and present. This isn't just a show. It's a living archive and a reminder of what it means to live in the last frontier. Alaska Tracks is proudly presented by KFAR Radio and sponsored by Rod's Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturday at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio. Stories of the North, told by the people who live them.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio. If you have a question, we're at 907-458-8255, 907-458-TALK. Now, three other things to look at. First of all, let's go back to Kathy Geisel real fast. The way she views this, you know, she actually said that she's not in favor of it because of the prostitution and social upheaval. Okay, so she tries to put $1 million per mile tax on it to go into the state coffers for the social upheaval that would happen to the areas where this affects. Sometimes you sort of question it. Now, the other thing you have to look at is President Trump just by executive order, don't know everything about it, but it is making natural gas development, things like that, a national priority, which is available for loan guarantees from the federal government. Also, at the same time, that sort of makes it a priority for our military bases, which would be Eielson, Fort Wainwright, and J-Bear. And the third thing you have to look at is the overall economics of will this even work? Because there is another large gas field down in Houston that will be coming online, that will be getting developed. And it just got its approval from the state of Alaska. And so, you know, whoever has the closest gas to the biggest user wins. Now, the biggest user is Anchorage. Simple as that. So now that this other gas field has been discovered, mapped, and almost put in place, does it make sense for Prudhoe Bay's gas field to be brought on? But be that as it may, when you start putting government in the hen house like this, it's guaranteed to make it fail. And when I get back from my trip, I'll put on the phone people who are involved in the Houston gas field and what it means and what they project and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. So Alaska's a lot of gas, but it's getting it to a point where you can have consumers use it economically, or you can export it economically, and that's where we're at. So those are the last things I wanted to finish up with in regards to Senate Bill 280 and where it's going and all that fun stuff. It's rambling about it because I didn't have my gubernatorial candidate here with me. How about that? Oh, man. So anyway, did you have a good weekend? I had a great weekend. I really did. You know, it's a weekend where a lot of snow melted. It's that weekend where I took a lot of stuff, throwing it out. It's that weekend where I got my deck all set up, cleaned off, all the ice gone, all the cooking utensils available. We got the large circular table out. Didn't think we were going to use it, but lo and behold, Saturday evening, I had some guests over 5:30, and we ate out on the deck. Had a wonderful evening. You know, the sun started going down around 9 o'clock, and that's when we called it good. Oh, yeah. So it's April. I'm going to start working on my tan. Yeah, I know, right. But, you know, we went through a heck of a winter. Now, when is the Nenana ice going out? I'm going to have Joni. She's usually the last Wednesday, but that's going to be Glen Farm with Jen. So when I get back, Joni will be on the, about the 8th of May, yeah. And that is the day that I chose for the ice going out. That is our bet, you know, is before or after. So we're going to know. She took before noon on May 8th. I took after 12 p.m. on May 8th. And what transpires is whoever chose wrong, the person who chose right gets lunch made by the person who chose wrong. Now, the people I had over Saturday, I'm tying this into with my Saturday night's meal, and I cooked a 6.5-pound top sirloin steak. And, you know, a sirloin is not as tender as a filet or a filet mignon. And so you gotta work at getting it there. And when it's that big, it's easier to work at it. So what I did is I took out a jacquard the day before. I took out a jacquard, and it's just basically, it looks like a medieval torture device. It has about 12 to 15 different little knife blades that come down. You press it down on the meat, and it pokes holes in it. So I tenderized both sides of it. Then I put a nice salt with a little bit of truffle mixed in. You know, took it out of its package, and I put it in the refrigerator and refrigerated for 24 hours before, because the refrigerator acts like a dehumidifier and starts sucking out the moisture, which tenderizes the meat. So how was I going to cook this? Okay. So I just put three spices on it, basically the garlic, granulated garlic, the salt and pepper, you know, fresh cracked. And I put my cast iron skillet in the oven prior to using it to sear the meat. And I put it in the oven at about 400 degrees for 25, 30 minutes because I wanted that skillet hot. I wanted a good sear. And then I put avocado oil in the skillet because that is a higher smoke temperature. And I pulled out the skillet, put in the avocado oil, and within a minute saw it starting to smoke, and I seared that for 2 to 3 minutes aside, and it barely fit in the skillet. It was that big. You know, 6.5-pound sirloin is not a small sirloin. So then I pulled it out, and I cut up like 2 cubes of butter. And I got my gas grill going, and I got 4 burners. And I got my gas grill going. I, you know, got it up to temperature, cleaned it all up. Then I shut off the 2 middle burners, and I had the 2 side burners going. And I took my sirloin steak, and before I brought it out there, I took rosemary, fresh rosemary that I got at, you know, Safeway, so it wasn't too fresh, fresh thyme, and fresh tarragon. And I put that on top of the top sirloin. Then on top of that, I chopped up 2 cubes of butter. And I put that on top, so there's like a mound of butter on it. Then I brought it out to my gas grill. And where the 2 burners that I turned off in the middle, I put underneath there a catch basin of aluminum foil pans, 2 of them that worked perfectly. And then I put on top of it, over those two aluminum foil pans, I put the steak on the top rack. So I was indirect grilling, and the butter would go down into the aluminum pans and not have a flare up. And I put in my meat thermometer that I've used, that I got, and I put it all together myself, figured it all out. I've used it once before. And I put my meter thermometer into the steak, and it gives you the readout of the steak temperature, the readout of the internal temperature of where you're cooking, your desired, you know, doneness. I was going for 123 and approximately how long it's going to take, and it all worked. And so watched it crawling up, and oh, man. So when it got to 123, I had shut down the burner on the right, so I only had 1 burner left, and I put the steak on the burner to get a second sear. And when I put it on the steak on this to get the second sear, on top of the steak, I took the remnants of the butter, and I just basted. I basted the top of this top sirloin steak for about 2 minutes. Then I flipped it, and I did it all again. And I made a wonderful mushroom cream sauce that I reduced that went with it. That I also put in there, you know, you have your cream, you have a cup of cream, a half cup of chicken stock. Then, you know, you put in your mustard, your Grey Poupon, and a little bit of Lee and Perrins and stuff like that. But I also put in 1/3 of a cup of shredded Reggiano Parmesan Reggiano cheese, and I just made it pop. And so I waited about 15 minutes, and I sliced up that beautiful, beautiful top sirloin steak in front of my guests. And oh my God, it was wonderful. I put, you know, cut it up, and I put the sauce, the mushroom cream sauce on top, and served it. And we ate out on the deck, and it was just wonderful. Everyone enjoyed themselves. It was a good night. You know, about 8:30, I put on a light sweater, and everyone just had a good time. So summer's back. And Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Looking to make a difference in our community? Join the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation for its 58th annual meeting on May 6th at 6 p.m. in the McGowan Room at the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. This year, they're inviting you to be part of the conversation. Share your ideas, your concerns, and your vision as we work together to strengthen the future of local healthcare. Enjoy light refreshments while connecting with others who care about our community. Mark your calendar for May 6th at 6 p.m. and come help shape what's next.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you Tuesday, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day this Tuesday. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy skies
today
with a high of 58. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, 35. More clouds than sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 53. A blend of clouds and sun and dry Wednesday and Thursday. Low 50s Wednesday, mid 50s by Thursday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back, and glad you sat with me through the meat portion of Friday night's dinner. But I'm Italian. That doesn't mean I always cook Italian. It means I like pasta. And I was going to make a good fettuccine Alfredo with mushrooms, and I was thinking about it. I said, no, I'm going to go Creole. I'm going to go Creole fettuccine. Now, what does Creole mean? Creole is a term that means all into one. Louisiana, you have the Cajun, which is from Arcadian. That's, you know, in the Canada area. They didn't want to bow to the king. They were French, and they weren't going to bow to the king of England, so they moved down to Louisiana. They became known as Cajuns. Creole were people of mixed races descent, all into one, French, Spanish, Indian, African American. And so it's a spice rub, the Creole spice rub. And in it, you know, I used two parts sweet paprika, one part smoked paprika, one half part Cajun, one part granulated garlic, one part onion powder, one part salt, one part oregano, and really, it's a great seasoning. You can make it more hot by putting in more cayenne pepper, but I'm not into the heat. I'm into the flavor. And so I use that for my treating my big shrimp. Got great shrimp at Fred Meyer's, 13 to the pound. Got a pound and a quarter of that. I used half of one of those beef things from, you know, anyway, and some chicken breasts. Chopped it all up, mixed it all up, cooked it about two thirds way through. Pulled it out. Then I started cooking my fettuccine. But let me take a call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is.
Hey, this is Al.
Al, what are you doing?
I am listening to you on the radio, and you were talking about a good searing.
Yep.
And I couldn't connect the dots on your taxes. I was getting mixed messages from you on ratepayers, you know, having ratepayers pay a tax on the gas line is not good. Yet taxing the ratepayers on gasoline is a good thing. I'm confused.
Well, I wasn't talking about gasoline. I was talking about natural gas.
I'm talking about taxes.
Exactly. So who do you think's going to, if Kathy Gietzel gets her way?
I understand that part. I'm just trying to understand why taxing the ratepayers on gasoline.
It's not. They're taxing the entity that's doing this. The entity that's doing this, Glen Farm and their owners, they're going to take that tax that they pay and they're going to put it on the consumer. Now, there's two portions of this. The first portion is the in-state use. It's all constructed for first portion. Phase one is in-state use from Prudhoe Bay down to Anchorage or wherever NSTAR is. That's in-state use. The second portion goes from NSTAR down to Nikiski. That's the export side. So anything that they're putting on, you know, from mile one to, say, mile 580, those taxes, those are paid by you and me if you're on natural gas or the Anchorage residents or the Matsu residents or the 4,000 residents in Fairbanks who are on natural gas or 4,000 properties that are on natural gas. They're going to be paying that $1 million per mile. They're going to be paying the 9.4%. They're going to be paying all that.
Yeah, I already know that.
Yeah.
You've not seen a spur line to Fairbanks.
Yeah. Well, that's why in my resolution, I knew that. You can't have a $33 billion spur line that's put on 4,000 properties and one and maybe two defense posts. That has to be all rolled in to the cost of the original construction. A spur line cost has to be rolled into that original construction. You can't do it separately. It ain't gonna pencil. Either that or you gotta go get, you know, Trump money. Simple as that.
Yeah. On another note, I heard you talking about Gietzel's impact acts, I guess. What's that gonna be used for?
It goes into the general fund.
Oh, so it's not really an impact tax.
No, it goes into the general fund.
I won't be able to get any money because I'm impacted by the gas line.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, they this got done, you know, with $190 million of ANWR sales. I believe that goes into the general fund too. Maybe it goes into a special fund. I do not know, but it goes towards, I don't think it's going to go into the capital budget.
I was just.
So hold it. Let's stop. Let's get our priorities straight. When is the next time you are producing kimchi?
Oh, when I see good cabbage come in. That's all loose heads right now, and that's bitter cabbage. I don't like
it. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, since we had to talk food since he called.
Yeah.
I made this Cajun fettuccine that one of the guests said it's the best pasta dish he's ever had. And it was so good. He had four servings of it. And man,
I listened to your shrimp show Saturday. I was getting hungry.
I took that and
I wonder why you eat shrimp and not good smoked black cod.
I like crustaceans. I don't like fish. I blame my mom. I grew up Catholic. So every Friday was torture.
Shell in front of fish, you'll eat it.
I was tortured every Friday. My mom, beautiful person, good cook, great, except for Fridays. Dad was Irish Catholic. Mom was Roman Catholic. Fish on Fridays. And she'd pull out frozen grayling and start frying it up. And I'd walk into the house, and it smelled like poop. Almost made me gag just walking in. And we were old school. It was on your plate. You weren't excused. You had to ask to be excused, but you couldn't be excused until your plate was finished. It was torture.
Yeah, we didn't have any of those grayling where we grew up. We froze fish that would freeze. We didn't freeze fish like grayling that would turn to mush afterwards.
Yeah. But, man, but it was just great being outside on the deck. You know, Emily and I didn't think that it'd be warm enough to be out on the deck. And so, but she said, oh, I'm just going to take the, she's going to take the top, the cover off the circular table there, you know, a big, nice yeah. circular table. And then, you know, we're outside about five before everyone came over. And I said, well, let's just try it. You know, what the heck? And we had, is this the beginning of the summer for us? It really was.
Oh, well, it's just a sucker day.
Yeah.
I have another good winter in May yet.
Well, I leave on Wednesday and I'm back on the following Wednesday. So I hope that it gets like 75. I hope I miss the first 75 degrees day. How's that?
Yeah. I got to take care of a customer. But anybody wanting smoked black cod, we got it down at Santa Smokehouse.
You got it, buddy. Smoked black cod at Santa Smokehouse?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
2400 Davis Road.
There you go.
Okay. Fairbank.
Yep. Okay. Bye. Al is a wonderful person. He's also on the board of game. Those are some of the good qualities of him. He also makes my favorite kimchi, and it's as good. I mean, he's ruined me. Wherever I go to the other place have great kimchi, but his is just so darn good. It's not overtly hot. It's just right. Sort of like the mama bear. Not too mild, not too spicy, just right. So anyway, but we had a wonderful Saturday night. So I encourage everyone. We came through a long, hard winter. Now I'm going to revert back to my history. And just like 1971, so those are the dates that I used for my Nenana Ice Classic. Yeah, it was like 1971 all over again that winter. I was about 11 or 12 years old, and just those were tough elementary school winters. And so those were the ones I looked at, and it went out on May 8th in the afternoon and around sometime between 1 and 4. So I chose the hour of 3 o'clock in there, and I bought my 20 tickets. I think they're at $2.50 a piece now, or $3 a piece. And I always put on there Dell and David Prues after my mom. She would religiously put together about 50 to 100 of them and put them in there, you know, beautiful handwriting. Put the Prues family, the time, the date, everything. And one year we won it, and so I always remember that. And don't expect to win it. And it was good. So anyway, that is our show. Tomorrow we have on another gubernatorial candidate, Shelley Hughes, running for governor. And it's going to get interesting. All these people running for governor, they have the month of May to get their lieutenant governor choice involved. And Click Bishop got his. We have Bernadette Wilson has hers. We're starting to get them. Only 18 people running for governor. But, hey, they all know after June 1 until the primary, I don't have you on my show. There's this, if I give it to one, got to give it to all 18 of you, and that's just too much. It's just not that I would mind the 18 people, but just trying to chase them all down and get them on committed time and everything that happens, this wouldn't work. So that's just the way it is. So Fairbanks, you have a good day, and I will see you tomorrow.